Josh.
Lur.
Lur. Lur. Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I'll do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome back to the brand new Wiggle Room podcast. I'm Rob Sestrino. Here's the man who started it all. Went down to Fiji, talked to 20 castaways, and the first one out. Here is the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
You never should have podcasted with me.
No.
You should have never done the podcast with me.
Well, you said.
I know.
You said to do it.
I did tell you to do it, but I'm sure that there have at least been a few nights where you've regretted your choice.
Yeah, you told me I should do it, and now you told me I was an idiot for doing it.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for me. I'm pretty happy with the deal, but yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy. Like, I love this time of year when everybody sees the Survivor premiere, and now I no longer have any secrets to keep. And the great news for me is, like, I have no secrets to keep anymore because I wasn't out there for the 40 premiere. So, like, I'm as in the dark as everybody else moving forward. This is a great time to be alive for Josh Wiggler.
Yeah. Is it hard for you? I mean, I feel like you've never slipped anything from all the times that you've ever been out there.
No, it would be nice to be able to talk about it. It's not. I mean, it's part of the job. You know, it's just something that you got to do. It was easier. It's easier when I'm out there with like a partner in crime, like Mike this past season, or if I go out and like Dalton and Gordon are there. The seasons where I've gone out on my own have been a little trickier. Like 35 was a little tricky just because I was so excited because I knew that first one out was going to be a thing. But I had that as like an outlet to pour myself into. David versus Goliath was hard because like I had to sit on the fact that like Hat's back got tweaked on the boat. And that felt like a really big thing to have to live with by myself. That was hard. That was tough. But this one wasn't that hard. This one, I got to talk to Mike about it a lot. What was fun about it was like, there was like nobody in the world who was guessing Ronnie as the first one out. You know, like you were looking down the list of the cast members of Survivor IOI. And I think I had heard a lot of people saying like, oh no, we stan Janet, but we're worried for Janet, or just like some of the conventional wisdom. And I don't think that Ronnie really makes that list very often. And I know Bloom has talked about it, but we ourselves were very sideswiped by the fact that Ronnie was the one to go home where he went home. So it was kind of amusing to see like people's guesses, and that there was not, as far as I could tell, there was not a lot of people, there were not a lot of people who were close to the correct answer.
Okay. Well, Josh,
there was one moment, Rob, on one of these podcasts where you're like, man, that Orange Tribe curse though. And I was like, yeah. And like, I was like, I just got to play it cool. But yeah, I mean, obviously the Orange Tribe curse is
the thing. So far, still a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just do some housekeeping here and set up what we are about to do, because just like Survivor, the Wiggle Room is evolving, and it is evolving with a new twist this season. Some twish as well, where Josh and I are here. We're going to talk some Survivor here up top today, and then we're going to jump into our wand off, and that is going to be a lot of what you're hearing on the Wiggle Room. It's going to be mostly wand off, and then we will bring in Jordan Kalish for This Week in Survivor, and ultimately This Week in Survivor History, the quiz.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, this is just the way it's gotta be. We have to evolve. We have to change the game. We have to keep things moving. There's a lot going on in Wigglerville these days, in Wombat Nation. And among those things is, I mean, Rob, I'm podcasting more right now than I think I've ever podcasted in my entire life. We've got 4 active podcasts happening on post show recaps right now. We've got Lost Down the Hatch, which is the rewatch with Mike Bloom. The Mr. Robot podcast is back with Antonio Mazzaro. The Walking Dead podcast is starting up with myself and Jessica Lease. We have a preview show that's on its way. Might even be in the post show recaps feed as we speak. The Succession podcast with Emily Fox and I is starting to wind down, but we've got a few more pivotal weeks going on there. And in fact, we've got a great new recap with temp know-it-all Dominic Abate is going to be on the latest episode of our Succession podcast. And I've got the series regular podcast at The Hollywood Reporter as well, which is a weekly thing, that is very, very time consuming. So between all of that, plus the Wiggle Room, I haven't even mentioned like all of the writing that I've got to do for crazy fall TV that's happening right now. All of which is to say, I got a lot going on, and I probably have about an hour per week to talk about Survivor. And I think a lot of that is going to end up being wand off. And I think the wand off will open us up to being able to talk about each episode as different topics are covered in the songs. I'm sure we'll stop down and I'll give you my takes on where things are going. I hope that's not too disappointing for people. It's really just a practicality thing. I want to keep doing this podcast as long as humanly possible. And right now, this is just the mode that it's got to exist in.
Okay. So a little part of the Wiggle Room is going to die, so the rest of Josh yeah. Wiggler's podcasting can live. I think this is a fair trade-off.
I can live, you know?
Yeah, so Josh Wiggler can live. So
I am currently in the midst of, I've been saying to people in my real life, that like, I thought that I had like two more weeks before fall TV was going to start getting really busy because I have a bunch of active shows that I have to fairly aggressively cover for The Hollywood Reporter right now. And I was off by 2 weeks and it turns out I'm already in it. So I'm doing like the wake up, work, go to sleep, work thing mm-hmm. right now. Work is my life right now. So I hope that you will forgive me because I love what I do. It's not a complaint. It's literally just like we've reached certain inevitabilities about time. And this is where we are right now. Okay. And I'm very happy to keep laughing along here on the Wiggle Room. It's just got to be a little bit of a condensed thing for me.
Josh, we appreciate you. We're happy for any time you have for us here and really excited to get into everything with you here today.
To big time anybody or even wig time
definitely
anyone.
Definitely not.
Just literally what it is.
And for those of you who are saying like, well, hold on, I don't really like the wand off, we will put the timestamp in the show notes if you want to skip ahead to the twists of it all with Jordan Kalish and this week's guests that we're going to talk about everything with going on in Survivor and on the brand new Masked Singer wrap up. Puya Zanvakili is going to join us to talk Survivor. We'll do the Survivor social media and then play the This Week in Survivor History quiz. That's all coming up in one jam-packed podcast. But first, Josh, want to hear a little bit about your trip to Fiji. You got to see this all play out. Was there anything that you saw in this episode that really surprised you?
I thought that the episode played really fair with what I saw. I'm so happy that people got to see a moment of Jack just being like the strongest man in the universe. There's that moment when they're on the A-frame and he's just holding onto the rope and like he like single-handedly like launches Jamal the rest of the way up the A-frame. I remember being on the sidelines of the challenge and being like, holy crap, like how is he doing that? It was really, really impressive to me. So to have that out in the world is pretty great. But no, there's a lot that I don't get to see while I'm out there, including like beach interactions. And when I got to see the Vokai tribe, they were all business. Like everybody was just go, 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 work, 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 work. So I didn't really get to see much in the way of personality. I did know that they had fire at that point. I don't think that I knew that Janet was the one who created that fire, or maybe I'm just forgetting. So that moment was really fun to see. And then over at Lyro, all that I got to see, and I saw that it started making the rounds as an Instagram video, which is great, was the Survivor rap battle and the members of Lyro who were just chilling in their shelter for literally an hour while Bloom and I and the rest of the CBS EPK team, while we were out there, it wasn't like the most action-packed hour, but it was a hysterical hour. And so we got to see a lot more dynamic action in the show than I got to witness in person. So seeing the premiere was really, really fun for me because there had been things that like I'd heard about, but things that I didn't get to witness. I get to see the challenge and I get to see, you know, the tribe visits, which only make up, you know, a couple of seconds of footage, maybe at the most. But the fact that there was no marooning, I don't have anything to report on from that. I guess I can say that like the paranoia that was generated by the lack of Jeff, that was very palpable out there. That was very real. And even like sort of like the heart sick feelings about Jeff not being there to greet them and people being like legitimately like kind of sad about it. Like that was very authentic to the experience that I got to witness. And then I guess getting to finally see how IOI actually works on television. That has been a huge question in my mind for, you know, how long has it been at this point? Mm-hmm. A half a year at this point that I've been wondering, how are Rob and Sandra going to be playing on screen? How are they going to be like featured on television? And we've got our answer.
Got to see it. Josh, did you get to go to the Island of the Idols?
Yeah, Mike and I did. We got to go there and we observed Rob and Sandra working on building out their shelter, which we haven't really seen. Like the snug that they keep talking about.
Snug.
That's not the site of where they are trying to live. Like that's their shelter is a little bit of a walk away from that. I'd say like maybe like a 5 minute walk, if that. Mm-hmm. Probably that seems even a little bit of a high estimation. So Mike and I got to watch them like clearing an area for where they hope to build like a multiple story house. Basically,
mm-hmm.
Which part of me really, really wants to see on the show. And then another part of me really doesn't want to see it on the show because that means we're spending less time on this great cast. But if they could find some way to just like suddenly appear in this incredible jungle fortress later on in the season, I'm pretty down for that.
Well, maybe that will be a future test of that.
You see, yes. Hey, you see this house that I built?
Yeah.
Can you build a bigger house than me?
Oh my God. Well, it's been a classic Survivor challenge in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Can Rob and Sandra put these people to work and, you know, get some like actual manpower behind their effort, I think would be amazing. I would love to see that.
Now, Josh, I know you also got to go and speak with Ronnie on location. You could listen to Josh's interview with Ronnie as part of the series regular podcast, wherever podcasts are found, or at thr.com/survivor. How was Ronnie when you found him?
Ronnie was like fairly sleepless by the time that I got to him. Ronnie had, you know, it was a really rough night that night when he got voted out, obviously emotionally for him, but also literally the weather had finally started to open up. You know, the rain finally started to come down after like a very beautiful week in Fiji. It decided like that was the night that it was going to start raining. The survivor gods were crying for Ronnie Bada. And I'm sure he had like a rough boat ride over. He had said to me that he had had some trouble falling asleep. And by the time I got to him, it was fairly early in the morning. So he had had the opportunity to have like maybe like 5 hours of sleep. And I'm sure he didn't quite get that. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty tired. He was pretty shell-shocked. Listening back to it, actually, I was very impressed with how lucid he was and like how much he got right about what went wrong. And I felt like, you know, the version of Ronnie we got on the show, and I think it's fair because you only got so much time, even with 90 minutes to tell the story, that he comes off a little 2D and comes off a little bit more of just like a bad guy who got it wrong and hooray Elaine, and we're glad that she survives the night. But I thought that the way that he talked about what he did wrong, like he really owned a lot of those mistakes pretty quickly. A lot of the stuff that he's been saying in exit press, he got like the very next day. I think he is a guy who has sharp reads, and I think that he read correctly that what he was selling was not being bought. And I think that that comes down to a variety of factors. He talked about his health not being the greatest going into the game. Just the conditions out there are rough on anybody, but maybe like a lack of confidence actually despite the bravado coming into the game. So he wasn't surprised that he ended up going home. Ultimately, he said that like he would say a thing and instantly knew that he had just put his foot in his mouth. So he wasn't surprised. And I was impressed by sort of the clarity he was speaking with, even as he was like kind of like punch drunk and like looked like pretty punch drunk. But as soon as like the interview was over, like we talked a little bit, he seemed like he was in pretty good spirits. He seemed like he was pretty ready to like make the most out of the experience that now was laid out for him, that he was going to be away from the world for a while. He was really excited about the fact that like he's not somebody who had a lot of opportunity as a kid, as a young person, to like read books and just relax and stuff like that. And he was talking about how like in recent years, he's been trying to get into that and trying to read. And he's been in recent years trying to like reflect and examine on, you know, what he wants out of life and who he wants to become. And he felt pretty strongly that he was going to get some of that out of the Ponderosa experience. So I certainly hope that he did. In my interactions with Ronnie, I thought that he was a really, really good guy. I really liked getting to know him, and I was really sorry to see him go. But I think that you could have said that about literally anybody on this cast at the time that I met them, and I would have been pretty disappointed to see any of them go. That Survivor breaks your heart, breaks you hot.
Yeah. Now, for Ronnie, yeah, I thought he was really, when you're talking about like, make sure if you're going to go on Survivor, you know, make sure that your health is in good order when you go out there. I thought, I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with Ronnie?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't really know what he was referring to, but he even said it to me at the end of our original interview. And again, Ronnie was the first person I talked to, and for him to be the first one out, if we're going in the order in which the interviews occurred, the second person I interviewed was Jason on Vokai. This doesn't look great for him.
I think it'll blow over for him.
Well, we'll see if the Foo interviews are like the new cast photo, like the Cambodia cast photo that was cursed. But yeah, he mentioned it like at the very end of the interview, but we didn't get a chance to dig into it any deeper because at that point it was like minute 50 and I was getting the wrap sign. And they're like, hey, keep these shorter. I was like, okay. And so I didn't have any that were longer than, I think, like a half hour at that point.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer. He would have to tell you.
Anything else notable that you want to share from your adventure out there with Mike Bloom?
No, I just had such a great time. I had a really fun time with Mike. I know we've teased around the issue a little bit. Mike and I did go on a spear fishing expedition. There is video evidence of this spear fishing expedition, Rob, that I can send your way if you want to embed that in the post.
Yes, we
do. You get to see a topless Wiggler, and it is a hell of a sight. I promise you, he looks great. You get to see me, trying my hand in spear fishing. You get to see me going after some clams in the ocean. We make
Did
ceviche.
They spit at you?
No, I got a spit-free experience, thankfully. Nice. I was very happy about that. So there's like a quick like three-ish minute video that the great Jason Schuler of Awakened Films put together. He's one of the guys. If you like what CBS puts out in the preseason, those Twitter videos and all of, like the EPK stuff, Jason is one of the geniuses behind that. A hell of a guy, really, really funny guy, and a challenge beast in his own right. And he put this video together. So we can embed that in the post. And look, if you've got mean things to say about my shirtless body, just don't do it.
Don't do
Keep
it.
Keep them to yourselves. I just don't need
don't
to hear
harass
it.
I'm big brother
no,
contestants.
No,
or
you can say whatever you want. Like, but just don't at me in it. Like, right. Yeah, I don't really care. I just don't need to see it.
You don't have to even say it on social media. You just say it like at your house.
Yeah, just say it out loud. Just be like, oh, Wiggler, geez, I thought that you were losing weight. Doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
You know, you can just keep that to yourself.
Nobody's going to say that. Okay. No. All right.
But it was great. I really loved watching this episode back. I think that this is a premiere that feels, one of the premieres that feels like the closest to my experience. Like, I think about, like, the Triple H premiere and how that was really not close to my experience at all. This one felt really authentic, to what I got to witness out there from like sort of like the confusion at Tribal Council where it really seems like it's the Elaine show. That's one thing that was missing from Tribal Council is Elaine talking about how, she was so sure that she was going home that she went off and like hiked around the island, by herself to like take in all the sights and like really stop down and capture some sense memory of Survivor because she wanted to fill her cup up. So that was A, not really talked about at Tribal Council, and B, I was really hoping that maybe we would get to see some of that in the episode, and we did not. But the way that Tribal played out in person was very close to the spirit of what's captured on screen, where it's just like, I have no idea what the hell is going on. How did Ronnie get caught up in this whirlpool? It seemed like it was Elaine with like a maybe slight possibility of Vince. But then there was like this sort of like brimming tension underneath where it's like, is something going on? And then there was like the first vote or two for Ronnie, and Mike and I were like, it's Ronnie. Mm-hmm. He's done. He's done.
All right.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda. Straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You
Wow.
For its fifth season, the Wand Off, wheel out the giant heads of Wanda and Casey Kasem.
Yeah, wearing those monstrously sized wombat hats. Gotta say, they don't look good blown up like that.
The wombat hat?
Yeah, even I have to admit that the giant-sized wombat hat. It's like pixelated. It looks weird. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
should that be the prize this season? Should we have like the final Wand Off winner gets a wombat hat that is like as big as
their
apartment?
How would we deliver that? I don't know how to do it. I like where your head is at. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. And so that would be great. I don't know
what
the viability is.
A paper mache bust.
I don't know how would make that or deliver it. Or
right, well, if anyone's got an idea. We're open.
We're open to ideas.
We're
nothing but open to ideas on this podcast.
Yeah. Listen, the Lost podcast that Mike and I are doing, like, seems like it evolves every single week. So let me also just throw out there that, like, this new version of the Wiggle Room, I'm sure, will evolve every single week as we are doing it. It will probably, hopefully, stay pretty close to the spirit of what it has always been. But we are open to ideas, and we are open to prize suggestions as well.
Now, for any of our new listeners who are just joining us, maybe it's their first Survivor season with us, they might be saying, wait, what is a Wand Off? What is happening right now? What is this?
Yeah, and to you, I say good luck figuring this out. I wish you well.
The Wand Off is our weekly Survivor song parody contest where our listeners make songs about things that happen in each episode of Survivor, and then they email them to wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com. From there, they are screened by our great Wand Off guru, Randy Neupel, and then he... Top five human being. He then uploads them to a SoundCloud playlist. We listen to them all, or I listen to them all. And then Casey Kasem, the great radio legend, decides who gets to be played, what gets played and what doesn't get played in the show. We have honorable mentions. Yeah. Then we have a top five, baby, for the week. And then people vote. And then the tabulator, Kurt Clark, tells us a couple days later who won a Wiggler's Wombat's hat, which we send out to the winner.
Yeah. So that's the Wand Off. I mean, I don't know, actually, like, hearing it. Like, I don't think it's that hard to follow.
Yeah. Not that hard to follow.
Really straightforward.
But Josh, I don't know if you even know about this. There is a twist for this year's Wand Off. And so
I don't know what this is.
Here to introduce this season's new twist to the Wand Off, it's Alex G and Tyler Jacob Jones.
For our fifth season, two legendary wombats return to the Wand Off.
Alex and I, between the two of us, have wasted a depressing amount of time writing Wand Offs.
We both won the Wand Off, and Tyler is the only person to win the final Wand Off twice.
Oh,
seriously,
God.
Google me. The first thing that comes up is my Wand Offs. I have had to explain this in a professional setting more than once now. It's actually becoming a problem.
But for the first time ever, they won't be competing for the Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Instead, they'll sing together on their own track and serve as mentors to a new group of wombats, whether anyone wants us to or not.
It's a Wand Off boot camp where every track is a chance for laughter.
If they can take what Alex can teach them and what I can teach them, they can take home the Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Yes.
That's all they've got to do is listen and make us feel important.
Wand Off school is in session.
This is voter fraud from Cherry Hill. It's good for your next two Wand Offs.
If your track doesn't get picked by Casey Kasem, you'll never make that mistake again.
Coming this fall, it's the Wand Off. Wiggler of the Wombats.
Wow. W-O-W.
Okay, Alex, who's the first contender to arrive at Wombat Nation?
Tyler, bad news. Rob and Josh didn't go for the idea.
No, I put a lot of work into preparing this. I mean, I was going to teach everyone about ABA structure and interior rhyme and how to get that perfect Wand Off recording quality where you can only understand about 65% of the lyrics.
Tyler,
I mean,
Rob and Josh said they would if they could, but they cannot.
No, don't start that out. Hey,
smart, no.
I can get loud too. What the fuck?
Whoa. Oh, wait, so the twist isn't real.
No, it's just a joke. Just playing around. That's what we do on the Wand Off.
Very good joke.
Yeah, just playing around. I mean, they might mentor somebody if you were like, hey, I'm an aspiring wand offer. And then could you former champs end up, you know, teaching me the ways of the wand off?
It's hysterical. I thought that was masterful. Very, very funny. Also, Tyler, I owe you a jacket. This is part of the tradition as well, guys, is that like you win the final wand off and then you don't get your winnings until half a year later, like that.
Yeah, but we're going to be good with the hats this season. We're going to get the hats out quick this season.
I also owe a lot of people hats. So I got
Send us the list over here.
All right, okay, got it.
We'll knock them out. Okay, and speaking of a man who is also a knockout, a man who is back for his legendary fifth season hosting the Wand Off, here is the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it is a pleasure to be back here hosting the Wand Off yet again with Josh Wiggler.
Casey, what up? It's been a minute. How are you, my friend?
Josh, it's going okay. I've got a lot of other things that I'm hosting, so happy to be back here with you talking about the Survivor song parodies.
Yeah, Casey's schedule is actually busier than mine. He is our intern behind the scenes on the Mr. Robot podcast. Casey communes with the ghosts of the island on Lost Down the Hatch. For people who don't know that. So Casey, I'm sure that you're not complaining about the changes to the Wiggle Room as well.
I've got a terrible agent. And I keep getting booked for more and more gigs.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's really bad. So, is your agent Philip Shepard?
He knows all about the BR rules. He's the perfect first specialist to have in your corner.
Yes, absolutely.
But Josh, we need to get to this week's honorable mentions. And it's only appropriate here that we salute our first Canadian Survivor castaway here with this submission from Logan.
Oh, Tom Laidlaw, the first Canadian, true survivor love from all Canadian fans.
Wow.
Sporting buffs, we see the man, the true goon, strong and wise.
Just go in for it. Just let it lie. Just let it lie. Blip on the field. Keep it.
I forgot to remind everybody to stand and rise and take off your hats and put a hand over your heart.
Oh my gosh. Tom Laidlaw. He's a really funny, quippy guy. I think that was a piece of the episode that just in like the discourse of the episode maybe is, not getting as much appreciation as it should. It's just how funny Laidlaw is. Like when they're having that moment where Elaine doesn't know what cumin is. And that it's a spice that's like only for like the liberal elite is like the joke. And Tom's like, yeah, they bring it up to you in a limo. He rattles that off so quickly. And that's something that Mike would be able to attest to as well, as when we were there at the Lyra tribe. Laidlaw was just like, he had like Jeff Probst jokes for days. They were very, very funny and not fit for air. But they were really, really funny. And he was just, he was a quote machine. Happy to see that Laidlaw is still in the mix here.
Speaking of Jeff Probst jokes, there was a lot of questions about where Jeff might have been to open the season. And here's Jason Lee to ask the question that was on everybody's mind.
Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? For some reason, he's not there. Where's Jeff? He vanished in the air. Where's Jeff? I can't believe my eyes. There's no marooning. Come on, Jeff. This isn't fair. Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? He's nowhere to be found. Where's Jeff? There's nobody around. Where's Jeff? We just see the tri flag on our arrival. It says Island of the Idols. Are we already playing Survivor? Where's Jeff?
That was from the soundtrack of The Nightmare Before Chris Missy Bird.
Yeah, as sang by Jack Skelling Nicktine. That's Jack Nicktine is a contestant on Survivor this season. And Jack Skeleton is the character who sings the song in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I know all about skeletons, Josh. You don't need to explain it to me.
Do you think that this is that Survivor's like piloting this idea of an autopilot opening? Are they trying to like VR out with 39? Like, are they trying to come up with like the groundwork for Jeff being able to skip maroonings moving forward because it buys them more time with the contestants potentially? Or do you think it's just to engender the paranoia of the Island of the Idols?
Casey, can I jump in on this one?
Sorry, Casey. Yeah. I was talking to Rob.
I think that they'll mix it up. I think sometimes they might do this. Sometimes they'll have a more of a traditional marooning. I think that they like to play with it. You know that it's season 39. They like to mix it up.
All right, Casey, and your thoughts on the matter?
I think that Jeff is holding out for more money, and so they're only going to pay him for 37 days. Okay. He only showed up on day 3. He was holding out.
Okay, good. All right, continue.
Next up, here is Dave from Ohio to talk about something that was hiding at this week's Tribal Council.
First, Jimmy Fallon thought of a box, told Jeff Probst all about the box. John Kirchhoffer built a box, they put Rob and Sandra in a box. Well, it's tribal time on night 3, legends hiding so you can't see. They put Rob and Sandra in a box, that's right, Boston Rob's hiding in a box. Yes, the queen stays clean in Survivor's box tonight. They can laugh at the tribe, whatever they do. Like when they blindside Ronnie 7-2. Like Statler and Waldorf in a box. And they could laugh if they go to rock. Yes, Rob and Sandra in that crazy box. Wanna, 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 wanna shirt. Wanna shirt.
That was a classic hit from Bill Haley Ford and the Comets.
Oh, my God. Casey, what did you think of the Fallon booth? Were you jealous that you couldn't be in that box, or can your physical form only be in one box at a time?
I was jealous that I couldn't have spent more time in the Fallon box in my career.
That would have been good.
Next up, we'll go back to Sandra and Rob talking in the Fallon box. Here's Kiri and Alex.
Wanda, the best part of the episode,
oh, oh, oh,
was the spy shack with two idols,
oh, oh, oh.
This time they don't have a foe. Jeff Probst can't stop their torch. No one can take the queen off her throne. Rob, sad when you send people home. Do you feel bad? And the queen said,
F no.
Next one, do you feel bad?
F no.
I vote you out and that's it. And that's it.
F no.
Senator D.S. Twine, do you feel bad?
Oh no, no, no. Fa 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 F no.
That was a wand-off classic from Neat Lady Gaga.
Oh, man. Casey, I hope you don't mind that I am going to talk to Rob a little bit throughout these segments. And Rob, I have to say that, like, the whole concept of IOI and, like, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? Maybe the jury is still out on that ultimately. But the moment that Sandra says, F no, I vote you out and that's it from the Fallon booth, it's like, yeah, I'm here for this season. This is super fun.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
It's definitely fun to have them be able to like talk about what's happening at the tribal council. So
I think the scripted stuff is not doing it for me. I think that's, you know, people have been talking about that. Like, I think like right. when you're reading like, we are the idols, this is the island of the idols, this is the oath of the island of the idols. Like, the less of that, the better. I would love like if like now we've got that, cool, that's established. Let's not hear that again. Because like the times that you're just letting Sandra be authentically Sandra. Kendra and Rob Be Authentically Rob so far have been amazing. Like, Rob just, like, noogieing Elizabeth so hard. I'm like, you shouldn't have laid fire against me. How dare you? It's just, like, such a classic Boston Rob moment. It's the scripted stuff that I'm not really feeling. But the authentic stuff, I think, has been great so far.
Yeah, I had said that I thought that, you know, practicing making the fire, I thought that that kind of dragged a little bit as we were watching like the montage of learning how to do
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, that was very fun. I feel like that almost nobody's complained about that. And that's, you know, uncommon on Survivor.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Can I get back in here?
Yes, of course. Just hop in and out. You know, we can keep this seamless. It's going to be great. It'd be great. That's not going to be hard for you guys at all.
Next up here is Swaggy J to talk about the downfall of Ronnie and all of his gambling brethren who came before him in the game of Survivor.
Diabolical, strategy-driven poker player who is always running the odds.
It's all about exploit, 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 maneuver, and strike.
I do try and use my looks to my advantage in poker.
From the moment I could start playing poker online, I kind of just obsessed about poker in the same way that I have about Survivor. And, you know, any moment I wasn't out with my friends partying, you know, I was focusing on my poker game.
Don't want to lay around the camp like Jean Robert. Get swaps through like Anna Kate. Some say that it wasn't fair. I hate it. Tell your tribe don't strategize like Garrett from the Brains. Or like Ronnie who targeted our beloved Elaine. Oh, whoa, your pros don't know. Ooh, whoa, 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 how to play without getting played. It's somewhat comical to see their hand fold. Ronnie got by Elaine Stott. tell me why the poker players suck at this game.
They're not bluffing anybody.
That was one from Lady Gagabone.
I always love hearing the wah-wah here in the wiggle room. Poker face,
we
a classic.
We got a lot to get to.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense, right? We got a few poker faces. Collection.
It's a week where some songs were repeated, but that was the only poker face that we got.
Yeah, I've been advised after releasing six or so 3-hour Lost podcasts in a row over the past month and a half that I'm no longer allowed to tell Rob when he has to go and live his life. So, Rob, feel free to just remix whatever you need to remix. I now understand that is living your life.
You might be sorry about that.
Oh, no. I take it back.
Here is Robin from Rochester, who wants to talk about some of the things that Ronnie has done.
Ronnie used to work at McDonald's. I think there was a point, but now he's just listing jobs. It's just a list of jobs. Aaron sitting 2 feet away. This former engineer once sold cattle corn for fun. I'm done. They say they want to vote out that Elaine Stott. She's only had one job and they resent that a lot. They're friends cause Aaron has a party yacht and guns. They both think they're hot. Wow, as Ronnie's in despair, the weasel man was bluffed out of his chair. Wow, Dean was also there.
Was he? Honestly, I'm not sure. I didn't see him, to be honest. I didn't see Dean.
That was from the supergroup Gabon Jovi.
Gabon Jovi. Wait, so were you preparing me for a litany of Gabon puns? Is that what that was? Is that what I'll be sorry for?
Josh, it's my first week back. I was supposed to say that Lady Gaga was from Lady Gaga, the Angie Kontz type.
Got it. Okay.
And I had the bone on the mind.
That's good.
Speaking of Ronnie's jobs, we have some wand offers that were on the same page. First, here's Trevor from Tacoma, and then Nicole P.
Ronnie's various employments. My dude can't get hired, but he lost his fire. Ronnie's various employments. He can get a job, but his game won't go on. Flipping burgers, making fries, Ronald's a McDonald's guy. Can't pay, lay away, see you at the Walmart.
Sears Automotive, I was a customer service advisor. Big Bird's bartender, deliver newspapers.
And not to be outdone, there was a third We Didn't Start the Fire parody that had nothing to do with Ronnie's jobs from Brad Black and Gold.
Janet started the fire. Yes, she broke the mold. Who cares that she's old?
Carbon Nation, assemble!
Three We Didn't Start the Fire parodies.
Wow.
All from Billy Joel Klug.
Yeah, of course, obviously. Just had a lot of different ideas and couldn't contain them to one song, so had to get them all, out there. Clearly, dude, you're a poker player. Just be a freaking poker player. You get that? That's a critique for Ronnie. Like, you got to just go out there and be who you are, man. You can't lie about that. You're a poker player. Just be that. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
It's too big of a lie, because then everyone's like, okay, so he's something that he's not telling us, and that's really shady. It's like, it's not great that you're a poker player playing Survivor, although maybe now it is, right? You know, now there's like four poker players, like the list
right,
is.
Right, just tell people, and they're like, oh, the guy, oh, well, he,
like, oh, okay, yeah, well, we can just drag him to
the end.
Don't worry
about the poker player, yeah.
Yeah, go. Okay. Yeah.
All right. One final honorable mention, and this one comes to us from Lyndall and Sarah from Australia.
Yes.
Talking about a clam.
Beneath the waterline, a giant clam appears. It just erupted right into my ear. I took a shower in the sea today. Now I can make chatter, but I'll smell like fish for days. I've been I'll open you up. I promise it won't hurt. I won't put you down. I will make you squirt.
That was from Johnny Fairplay Cash. But Josh, it's been the kind of week where a lot of the wand offers were on the same page.
Sure.
Here is a snippet from the Johnny Cash version of the same song from Jordan Kalish and Aaron Robertson. But I'm only going to play you a piece because it was actually much dirtier than the Lyndall from Australia version.
Shocker.
Hard to out dirty Lyndall from Australia. But these guys were able to do it.
Okay, I'm nervous.
This is all I can play.
I squirt my clam today on the Vokai Beach.
Kids, listen to this podcast.
That's it? That's as far as you can go? That's it?
You can listen to the rest on the SoundCloud.
Wow.
If you want.
Wow. Kalish writing dirty lyrics. Kalish going topless. Speaking of yeah. topless Wiggler.
There were people here and they were uncomfy.
Oh my. Oh man. Well, you'll have to pass my my horror and awe to Jordan when you speak to him next. You can do that offline. It doesn't have to make it onto the podcast.
We'll have a convo.
Okay. Sounds great. Sounds good. Oh my God. And Lyndall from Australia reminds me that over on Lost Down the Hatch, we have activated the Lindelof, which is the lost equivalent of the Wandoff. And if you are an aspiring Wandoff artist who loves Survivor, but also would be up for making song parodies about Lost, you can submit those to Down the Hatch at postshowrecaps.com. And when we have enough high quality Lindelof submissions, we are going to just drop a Lindelof on you. So I invite you to go for it. We've got a Wombat Station hat up for grabs. It's totally different from the hat that's up for grabs here in the Wandoff. So go give it a shot. See what you're capable of doing.
Josh, are you ready to hear Truck 108's top 5 songs in the country?
I have never been more ready in my entire life.
To kick things off, here is a newcomer to the top 5. He goes by the name of Greg D. from Israel. And here he is talking about a hygiene situation over on Vokai.
You are somebody that I don't know, but you're laying on my leg like it's a pillow, and I'm just like, dude, it's only day 2. Maybe with your wife, that's a knockout, but I'm trying to play a game, not get a massage, and I'm just like, hey, are you okay? And I understand that the combination of human and slightly more elevated, it has you happy, but for me it's no fun. I'm a germaphobe, please don't crack my bones. So, uh-oh, 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 uh-oh. You're sweating on my leg, from the back of your head. And I'm just like, uh-oh, 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 uh-oh. Need to just stop, but can you just not touch me right now, or I'll put you out.
That was a
great
single from Taylor Stalker Swift.
Wow, that was great. That bopped. That was bopping.
That was a bop.
Yeah, that's good.
Speaking of somebody.
I liked that.
Known for a bop or two, Corey B is back to talk about a Survivor legend returning this season.
All right.
Hey, Bustin' Rob is here.
What? No way!
So, Rob, this is the Wandoff.
Right.
Want to help?
No, it's a tough decision.
Okay, come on. Elizabeth really wants to know who the best singer is.
Would you like that?
I would love that.
Want to try?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Oh, my God.
So, how do you want to...
Dinner and I are actually out here to show the new kids how it's done. Done.
Oh, my God.
It's that easy.
Okay, my turn.
Tick top, red shorts, but no one knows that bot. Just prepping for the show, big head. But I have full control method. So clinical. Light bro. Can't win, it was a scene. Hey girl, learn from me and the queen. I'm nice, but if you challenge me, I'll be so critical.
Hey, come on.
Well, I'm the goat guy, take away your vote guy. I'm one of the host guy, Jimmy Fallon's dope spy. I'm the dad type, never wearing plaid type. Spark without a bad strike, check out my new website. I'm the hat guy.
Before you go, there's one more thing.
Cheers.
How it's done.
Who are you
thinking going against me. You should have never battled me in this.
That was from Billy Garcia Elish.
I mean, killed me at the first, all right. just visualizing Boston Rob trying to process what the wand off is.
He worked at a radio station one time.
Okay.
Dude worked on the morning radio.
Oh, God.
Next up,
it's just occurring to me though that the wand off may end up on Boston Rob's radar this season. And man, if I had any cool
Nobody
stock in
him.
That guy's book at all, it's dead. It's dead. It's gone.
You're telling me that to me, Josh. You're telling that to me.
We will not. I can never be around him ever again.
Next
it's mortifying.
Next up, here's Bob with two B's to talk about something going on over at Vokai.
Hey, lovely ladies, it's hot in the Fijian sun. Take a little breather, enjoy a little leisure from the one that I hear gives good rub. Well, you're dancing, Z. And the sweat glands drip. He'll release your tension with his kung fu grip. Oh, come on. Oh, no. K-E-L-L-E-E-G whiz girl, he's got wood for sheep. Tell that man his drifting hands are coming off a bit pervy. Oh, no. Well, yeah, dance and Z. Oh. Well, yeah, dance and Z. Oh. Well, yeah, dance and Z. Oh. Oh, no.
That was the group Alt J Byers.
I think clapping with your hands is an appropriate use of your hands. That's good. That's where you want to be with them.
Where you want to be.
Keep them off the table, please. And thanks would also be great. And I was with Reem when you were talking with Reem about all of this. I was like, the shot where like the dripping is going, I'm like, oh God, this is a nightmare. This is a disaster. This is a nightmare. Like, you don't even have to be like an active germaphobe to be like, ha, 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 no good.
I was God, told no. that the drip is good.
Oh, really?
You want that drip.
I guess that is something that I have not been informed of.
That's what?
I don't know what that
filthy
means.
Filthy, son.
Oh, okay. It's a filthy thing. So I'm showing my age once again.
Josh, the number four song that we have for you this week, it's another returning wand off icon. Here is DJ LaBelle Klein to talk about some of the Survivor contestants that are part of a different tribe.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think, honestly, I don't know.
You don't want to go the Garrett route. Garrett. You'd rather get, like, screwed at the swap, but you were playing well, than to go out the way that
yeah,
Garrett.
For sure. Yeah.
Running for me, boy, one episode and you were gone. Guess you're more like Jacob DeWin instead of Ethan Zahn. Your people may be chosen, but if I picked it, then I would not win. Your edit was Meshuggah, less Cochran, more Samson.
Let my people go.
I guess Elaine was not the wisest choice of foil. That girl cut you short like she was a moil. There's a giant chasm like a potted sea. You're either Adam Klein or Garrett Adelstein. It's not his fault that the tribe was playing loose. Somehow Ronnie drew the deuce, joins the early booted Jews. The matzo ball, it may be the soup you choose, but you really have to schmooze to join the early booted Jews.
Oi, Ronnie. Oi, Ronnie. Oi, Ronnie.
Either win or quickly lose for the few Survivor Jews. Oi, Ronnie. Oi, Ronnie. Yeah, it's either ace or deuce for the few Survivor Jews. Oh, yeah!
Different tribe altogether. I see what you did there.
See what I did there?
Yeah, it's good.
That was the new hit from Lizzo Markham.
Oh, man. I mean, I was so pumped to have Ronnie out there when I met him. I was like, oh, sweet. Nice. I was like an alpha Jew on Survivor. Because obviously I consider myself an alpha Jew. I was like, oh, I love to see more Jewish people on Survivor. This makes me feel seen. And then he's out so quickly. But we've got a couple of shots. There's still some Jewish people left in the game. So this is not a lost cause yet. Let's see if we can get some Ethan Zahns out of these people yet.
And if not this season, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get some Ethan Zahns in the future anyway.
Josh, we've got one last song in the honorable or the top five this week. First week back. Still rusty.
No, you're great. You're doing fantastic.
Speaking of Ronnie, here is the duo of Becky and Taylor.
I can see that Elaine is extremely likable. She's super fun, but that could be dangerous.
Ronnie, 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 Ronnie. I'm begging of you, please don't vote Elaine.
They're going to award her $1 million. So yeah, if she's somebody I want to get rid of.
Ronnie, 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 Ronnie. Please don't vote her just because she's likable.
Sounds like a clear winner to me.
She's barely over 5 feet tall. She wears a camouflage sports bra and on her baseball hat, a little bead.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
She knows she needs to wear her drawers, but she thinks the Cummins Grey Poupon, because she has never lived in a city.
That must be some city that I ain't heard of.
She's good at making her tribe laugh, but she also takes good care of them, especially that skinny guy named Dean.
Pass out and get you woman over here, give you mouth to mouth.
If Talladega Nights was this season's theme, Cal Naughton's who Elaine would be. You could have been her Ricky Bobby. Ronnie.
I want somebody to be my Ricky Bobby. I need to be Cal Naughton.
Ronnie, 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 Ronnie. It's looking like you overplayed your hand.
He is a weasel. I don't trust Ronnie.
Ronnie, 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 Ronnie.
Put my drawers on. If not, we're just gonna go commando.
Sounds like you're gonna go commando no matter what.
That was Dolly Neely Parton with that one. But Josh, we don't normally do this. I just want to squeeze in one more honorable mention.
Top six.
Not a top six, just another honorable mention,
okay,
because
so eligible,
we had a special submission this week, which also was a Jolene parody, but it was not about Ronnie. It was about Elaine, and it comes to us from the great Becca Devins.
Oh, yes.
Elaine, 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 Elaine. You're the coolest player in this game. Elaine, 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 Elaine. I'm so glad they didn't write your name.
So just for the record, that was... 3, We Didn't Start the Fires.
Wow.
2, Jolene's. And 2, Johnny Cash Hurts.
That's where we're at with the wand off these days. You know, we're getting multiple submissions of the same obscure songs for the same obscure song parody competition. And I got to tell you, we're talking about cups that are full and mine is overflowing.
All right. So
a delight.
Here's where we're at right now. You can vote. Go to robazawebsite.com/votewanda. You'll be able to vote for the next couple of days until the tabulator shuts it down. I think it goes until Friday. robazawebsite.com/votewanda will reveal the winner on next week's show. And of course, you can hear the entire SoundCloud playlist, 31 songs and counting, if you're a patron of Rob Has a Podcast over at robazawebsite.com/patron. And I hear that if you become a patron between now and October 8th, you also will be able to get an RHAP pop socket. I've got one on my
phone.
And I have to say, it is way easier to take a selfie, and I rarely drop my phone.
I've got a Game of Thrones pop socket on my phone, and I got to tell you, it's a little out of vogue. So I don't know, Casey, if you can hook up an RHAP pop socket. I would rock that.
I think we can hook you up.
And okay, cool.
Until next week, Josh, remember to keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
Will do, Casey. Right, great
Casey,
to be back
Casey,
with you.
Casey, oh, Casey is back. What a great job once again.
Unbelievable. Big belly laughs this week. This is a good sign for things to come.
We're back. So everybody, it was a long summer away from the wand off. We'll be back every week. Wiggle room at robswebsite.com if you want to get your wand offs in. Okay, Josh, for more of your coverage, of course, people can go over to thr.com/survivor for all things Survivor.
Yes, that is correct. Also, Mr. Robot is about to return. I'm going to have a lot of coverage of that over at The Hollywood Reporter. Walking Dead is about to return. I'm going to have more coverage of that over at The Hollywood Reporter. Watchmen coming later this month. More at The Hollywood Reporter. And tons happening at post-show recaps as well.
You're killing it.
There's so much happening. Everything is a joy and a pleasure and a delight. Little delights to be had and found everywhere you look. Right. If you want easy access to all of that stuff, I'm on the Twitter bots at Round Howard. I will be tweeting out the links to all the things that I've got going on, and I hope that you are along for the journey. I'm certainly thrilled to be back on the Wandoff journey this season.
All right. Well, Josh, looking forward to getting back in touch next week to talk about episode number 2. But we still have a lot to do here on this podcast. That we're going to bring in Jordan Kalish, and we're going to talk with Pooya Zanvakili about everything that's going on.
I've always wanted to be on a podcast with Pooya, but this is not the way that I thought it would happen, where no. I can't talk to him.
Yes. Well, sorry.
We'll fix that in the future for sure.
But I'm sure that Pooya would... do you follow The Masked Singer?
No, I actually haven't. And it seems like it's really up my alley. So mm-hmm. I would like to change that. And
singing,
maybe it's not too
costumes,
early yet.
Yeah, craziness. Yeah, yeah. Pooya is the new co-host of our brand new Masked Singer
awesome.
Wrap Up. We'll talk about that with him and much more as we get into the Survivor social media and play this week in Survivor history. That is all coming your way after a quick word about the new show coming to the CW, which I think might be up your alley as well. We're going to talk a little bit about Batwoman, and then we'll come back with this week in Survivor history.
Sundays on the CW, brace yourself, superhero fans, because the Bat Signal is on and you won't believe who's swooping in to heed the call. From the brilliant mind of Greg Berlanti and the executive producer of the superhero smash hit Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow comes the most anticipated new series to join the CW-verse. It's Batwoman. Get ready to meet your new hero, Kate Kane. She's a survivor like me, a fighter, and an all-around badass who plays by her own rules, and she's got the ink to prove it. Batwoman's story begins 3 years after the mysterious disappearance of Batman, when Gotham City is in desperate need of a new kind of hero. Soon after returning home to defend her city from the notoriously twisted Alice in Wonderland gang, she discovers her cousin Bruce Wayne's mysterious lair and his unbelievable secret. With the help of Batman's trusted tech genius Luke, she decides to carry on Batman's mission by becoming Gotham City's new superhero vigilante. From the suit to the gadgets to the fight scenes that will blow your mind, this is the Batwoman of a new generation. Don't miss the incredible series premiere of Batwoman Sunday at 8, 7 Central on the CW, or stream the next day on the free CW app.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah, thank you, Will from America. We back this week in Survivor. A lot of people were wondering what they're going to do. We're going to have exit interviews this season, but back by popular demand this week in Survivor. And let's welcome in a man who fans of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast have already heard from a lot this week. Here he is, the host of the This Week in Survivor History quiz, Mr. Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be back, and we're going to log a couple more hours of podcasting in this week, so it's been fun.
Yeah, just for people who are like, wait, what? What did Jordan Kalish do? So on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, a podcast where my co-host Akiva Winokur and I spin a wheel of fan-submitted ideas every single week, that we did a podcast this week. There was an idea on the wheel, which was called This Week in Robin Akiva. Jordan Kalish and company went back and listened to every podcast that Akiva Winokur and I had ever done in the last week of September, and then made a 53-question quiz, and yes, we talked about it on a recent podcast. And Jordan, how have the reviews been?
The reviews have been mixed. I mean, I think that the reviews that I've seen have been mostly positive, because I think people are more likely to tag me in the reviews if they like the quiz. The thing is, though, I think a lot of them are like, I like Kalish, but I don't know about this quiz. Mm-hmm. The good thing is, it was not my idea, so I'm off the hook here. They liked me being on the podcast, but they didn't necessarily like the 53 trivia questions that we didn't get to all of them, but we got to a lot of them on that podcast. And I think 53 is about the same number of Survivor trivia questions I write in any particular season of Survivor. So a lot of questions there, a lot to get through with you and Akiva. Mainly with the old Seinfeld podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, let's welcome in our guest this week to talk about This Week in Survivor. And then later on, we'll take me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. You've heard him on a lot of the Big Brother recaps throughout the year. And now he is the new co-host of our brand new Masked Singer Rehap Up. Please welcome in Mr. Puya Zanvakili.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Deese Bigelow. How's it going? Really excited to be here. And I'm happy to talk Survivor. It's been a weird month for me. I've talked a little bit of Big Brother. Now I'm talking about the new phenomenon that is the Masked Singer. So it's always nice to go back to the normal, which is Survivor.
Okay.
Fun time.
Puya, you and Liana Boris are on your way. Masked Singer week number one Rehap Up is up in your Rehap Ups podcast feed and on robhasawebsite.com. The Masked Singer got out of the gate real hot versus Survivor. And this is, you know, there's a big rivalry going on right now between Survivor and the Masked Singer as they are going head to head. And so far, advantage Masked Singer.
Yeah, it's you hate to see it. I did, you know, as someone who likes both shows, I do not like that they're on at the same time, because I would like to watch both live, but it made me have to choose. And I went with my old love that is Survivor, and they didn't need me because they did numbers this week, Rob.
Yes.
Premiere of both shows, and the Masked Singer went up to about what, 8 million? We got for the 2-hour premiere.
They did real good. And I know there's a lot of Survivor fans that say, hey, the only Masked Singer we care about is the lady that comes out and gives $15,000 to people at the reunion.
That's Sia money, though. Yes.
Yeah. Sia would
only
be
one we care about.
She should be a judge on the Masked Singer, I guess, but she loves Survivor too much, Puya.
Her credentials are too high, is what we've learned on the podcast, is that to be a judge on the Masked Singer, you have to not really know what you're talking about.
Okay.
And Sia would be too.
All right. So, Puya, I would love to know, as a Masked Singer superfan and a longtime Survivor superfan, is there anything that you think that Survivor could take from the Masked Singer right now, which is red hot, and bring to Survivor?
Yeah, so if we're going to break down all the moving parts that are the Masked Singer, there's judges, there's a host. We already have a host. That's fine. But it really boils down to they're kind of going for the same demo here, which is the family.
Mm.
And to appease the children, the family as a whole, I think you got to look at colors and costumes. So with Survivor, we're kind of in this place now where we're just sticking to orange and purple.
Yeah.
Gotta change it up. So maybe like a neon green, put a little bit of neon green in there. Maybe put a hot pink in there. Or if you want to go the full mile, we start bringing in personas for everybody. So Liana's got her own persona for this week. She was the floss. You know, make someone the kiwi, make someone the hockey puck. I'm just rolling off these
like
ones.
Put dental them in the floss Chiron. Liana was?
No, the dance made famous by the backpack kid because, spoiler alert, one of the contestants ended up being a Fortnite legend, quote unquote.
What? And that legend.
Yeah. Legend. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, what I was thinking that maybe Survivor could do, what if you had the Island of the Idols, but instead of Rob and Sandra, well, what if you had, there's like 10 disguised Survivor legends, and they are wearing a costume, and then you have to pick one each week, and then that person would help you, and eventually the Survivor legends that would be there would be unmasked. So then it's like, I think that the chameleon might be Cochran. I think that that might be who it is.
Maybe
I don't know.
Lobster.
Well, it could be anything. So yeah, what do you think about that, Puya?
Let's pitch this immediately. I think this would be a slam dunk. I like the idea that out of the 10, there's someone that's called Captain Underpants. You're like, that's my guy. He's a captain. Mm-hmm. Then you find out it's Philip Shepherd and it's a hot mess. So yeah, I think talking through these would be fun. I think finding 10 would be fun. I think you'd find so many more. This would be a slam dunk. And no, they would, you know, be good mentors too.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have a problem with the heat and the costumes, but that's their problem, not ours.
Jordan, we haven't gotten to talk about your take on the premiere. What'd you think about week number one?
I mean, I liked it. I like when we have the hour and a half premiere. We get to learn a lot more about most of these characters than we would if it were just an hour. I think the only person who didn't get a confessional from what I saw was Dean, and I'm sure we'll hear from him down the road at some point. But I enjoyed it. I feel like we got a good sense of the dynamics on both tribes. The Rob and Sandra stuff. I think I had a similar take to Taryn, actually, where the fire making was weak. The tribal council, Robin Sandra in a box, which I was not expecting. I did not know they were doing that going into the episode. That was a lot of fun. But I don't think it's necessary. The thing I do like about this twist as opposed to Edge of Extinction is it's like, it doesn't change the game. It adds advantages and a couple extra scenes with Robin Sandra, but I don't think it's going to really be the kind of thing that changes the way Survivor works.
Now, Jordan, you are a noted Boston Rob super fan from your times hanging out with Rob in Reno, Nevada, correct?
Yes, and I don't think Ronnie Barta was at the Run It Up Reno I was at.
What did you make of Ronnie Barta's claim that I was inebriated and asking people who their favorite Survivor was? Did you buy that?
I mean, look, I don't know why he would make that up. This is not the Run It Up Reno that I was at, because he said Adam Klein was there, and Adam Klein was not in Reno when I was in Reno. So it's possible. I mean, I can say that you did not ask me who my favorite Survivor was, because you know that it's Boston Rob. So yeah.
What did you learn when Boston Rob was mentoring you in Reno?
I learned don't try to bluff Boston Rob in poker, because he'll knock you out of a poker tournament.
Yeah, well, that's a similar lesson to what Elizabeth learned.
Yeah, it was very similar. I was actually thinking about that during the episode. And the other thing that he taught me is if you see Boston Rob playing blackjack, sit down at the table next to him, because he will buy you shots.
Okay. That's good lessons.
Pro tip.
Okay. Puya, did you have any thoughts about the first week of the show that you want to talk about?
I really enjoyed it. And it's been a good summer for Survivor. Well, for me, I've been keeping up with the international stuff after Edge of Extinction. And then coming in here, I enjoyed the 90 minutes. I like that there was no marooning. I like that we pretty much heard from everybody. I feel like I know these people a lot better. The preseason coverage has been stellar as well, so that really helped me as well. I will say, I also share the same sentiment about the fire making kind of being a little boring. But at the same time, I'm looking at it with a silver lining. If we're starting meh, it'll get better. So right now the bar is low. So I feel confident knowing that in the future, hopefully it becomes a little more enticing, a little bit exciting. But I do have to say the winner of having Boston, Rob, and Sandra there was their commentary on things. First, we had Sassy Rob telling off Elizabeth for making the wrong move. And then we had I did enjoy the box commentary that was going on. I'm excited to see if that gives us any more to look at and think about moving forward. Mm-hmm. But altogether, I thought it was well packaged. I'm here for it.
Okay, well, speaking of the Island of the Idols format, we have a question that got left on our voicemail this week. robiswebsite.com/voicemail. Anytime you want to leave questions for the show. And I didn't get to play it earlier in the week, but I thought it was an interesting question. So let's listen to this question. This is Jason from Maryland.
Hey, Rob. It's Jason from Maryland. Is it possible we're seeing the beginning of the end with Jeff Probst hosting Survivor? I mean, we're 40 seasons in. I think Jeff still likes doing the show. But maybe he likes doing it from the comfort of California as executive producer. This season began. Jeff Probst was not there to introduce the players to the season. And now we've introduced Rob and Sandra to help tell the story and be part of the season without being players. Maybe they host a tribal council later this season. Who knows? Maybe in a couple of seasons we get former challenge beasts or puzzle experts to help host the challenges. Wouldn't this be a way, if Jeff Probst is kind of getting tired of hosting the show from location, wouldn't this be a way to keep the show alive, keep bringing back former players that are not in a player role that can help host the show, and keep the show alive? Is this possible? What do you think?
Puyo, what do you think about that? Do you think that the Island of the Idols serves as sort of a way to give Jeff Probst, you know, a few more days off in between times that he has to, like, so he really only has to be there every third day in terms of to come to the challenge. And then I don't know if we're going to have reward challenges, but if there's no reward challenge, I mean, really, you just need Jeff on the immunity challenge / tribal council day.
Yeah, it's definitely lighting the load up a little bit. And given that we know Jeff is very hands-on with the show, the more and more we've progressed into these later seasons, Jeff is serving as a bigger person, both on screen, off screen. This could be lighting the load a little bit. However, I do subscribe to the ideology that Jeff really wanted the Jeff Probst talk show to work out. It didn't. This is Jeff's baby. Jeff is not going to abandon the baby. I think he's going to stick around. Will he, if this works out successfully, will he commission bringing out other previous contestants to do other things and help out? Definitely. I like the idea, actually. If Rob and Sandra end up hosting a tribal at one point this season, that would be really fun to see. But ultimately, it's his baby. I really don't think he's going to walk away from his baby. He's always going to hold this baby close and coddle it.
Yeah. Jordan, do you feel like, is this just sort of like that Jeff Probst is like the veteran running back and then we're just going to like take him off the field for a couple series, a game pre-planned?
I mean, I buy the idea that, you know, Jeff doesn't have as much to do, I guess, when in a season like this where you're really just having him at the tribal council on the challenges. But I don't buy the fact. First of all, I'd be completely against anybody besides Jeff Probst running tribal council, unless a Survivor ever gets to a point where Jeff does walk away from being the host and you have a new host. But like, Jeff Probst has been at every tribal council in Survivor history. And I think it would just, it would feel so inconsistent if Boston, Rob, or Sandra, as much as I like both of them, were to host a tribal council. I mean, and I remember we, when they had like the DIY challenges during Survivor Samoa, people started talking about, oh, is this the, you know, is Jeff Probst doing less on the show? Is it maybe a sign that the show is going to end or there's going to be a new host? And we're 20 seasons past that now. So I think that Jeff, I kind of, it's hard for me to imagine someone else hosting Survivor besides Jeff. But I mean, I do see, look, he's hosting the challenge and he's hosting Tribal Council. Those are both on the same day. And I liked, the input that we had from Rob and Sandra, but I don't think it's going to get to the point where someone else is hosting Tribal Council. And I also don't love the idea in future seasons of bringing back a bunch of players to like host different aspects of the show. I think it would get a little bit crazy if you have like, I don't know, Parvati comes in and hosts a challenge and then Malcolm comes in and then Alex Christie comes in and hosts a challenge.
Alex Christie. So,
Alec Christie, sorry.
Yes, no, that wasn't the pronunciation. It was It was the suggestion. Now, Jordan, you're not a Big Brother guy, but Puya and I can tell you they do it all the time on Big Brother.
I know they do. And look, it's something that I guess they've done on the show, and I'm not really used to that. But Survivor's never done that, and it's been 39 seasons. I think it would be a little bit weird to start now. Okay. But they've done a lot of things that have been a little bit weird lately.
Okay. Puya, a lot of people are talking about the breakout character, Elaine, from episode number one. How you feeling about Elaine?
Really digging Elaine. I liked what I had heard from her prior to the season starting, and it just picked up and continued going from there. You know, she's one of these more unique characters that we've been getting. You know, you think about your Elaine, you got a lot of Rimmer comparisons going on there that I've seen. She's just one of these unique ones, especially when you come from a situation where there's quite a few people from like the same region. When you get one that's not from that region, you want to pay attention to them. And then when they give you what you want and they give you comedy, they give you insight, they give you a story, it all kind of comes together and you want to root for them. So I personally was really happy to see that Elaine's still going to be here come episode two.
All right. Now, Puya, Elaine is polling at 100% popularity right now, that everybody is loving Elaine. But what I would like to do is for you, Puya, predict the week that I don't think it's going to be the Survivor Facebook page, but Twitter.com is going to turn on Elaine at some point, right? Do you see that? Do you have that foresight of that's where this is going, where that we end up getting so much Elaine, and while she's universally beloved today, there will be a time when people are going to be dragging the quote unquote casuals that are all in on Elaine.
It isn't impossible, especially it's one of those scenarios where if you live long enough, you become the villain. That's certainly possible. We might get overexposed to Elaine.
Right.
That's a thing that could happen.
Right.
Yeah. So she'd have to survive to get to that point for that to be the case. But it could happen.
Yeah, because we all fall in love with the same people when the show starts. But then eventually when Elaine has 87 confessionals by week seven, then that's when the backlash is going to start to build up. But for in the meantime, let's all enjoy Elaine while we're on the same page. And I've got a couple of moments from Elaine in the episode. And Elaine talked about how that everybody needs to remind her about her underwear before the challenge.
We do a challenge. Remind me to put my drawers on. If not, we're just going to go commando.
Jordan, whose job was it in the tribe to remind Elaine to put her drawers on?
Well, I mean, I think it would have to be either Tom or Vince as sort of like her consiglieres. Mm-hmm. They're always with her gathering wood. Or maybe it's
sexy
the,
wood gathering. That is. Yes.
I mean, it's a sexy wood gathering.
Yeah, they're her sexy wood gathering partners. Yes. Or maybe it's the Women's Alliance that's developed on her tribe. And really, like, Elaine is at the crux of this tribe now. She was able to not only able to stay in the game herself, but she didn't lose Vince, who became one of her biggest allies. So I think there are plenty of people, everyone except for maybe Aaron, is responsible for reminding her to wear her drawers to the challenge.
Yeah, maybe that was one of Ronnie's many jobs to remind Elaine to wear her underwear to the challenge. But Puya, so then she went on to say something, and there is an obscenity that is going to be in this quote. But of course, Survivor being a network TV show, that obscenity got censored out. But Puya, I really need some help here trying to guess what it is that Elaine might have said that needed to be censored. This is right after she said about, hey, remind me to put my drawers on or I have to go commando to the challenge.
I'll be in the free world.
I will be blank in the free world.
Oof.
Let me play it again. That Elaine said something that you can't say on TV in that blank. What on earth could it have been?
I'll be in the free world.
I mean, it's gotta be some kind of word for naked, but what is bad enough that it would have to be censored.
What couldn't she say?
The free world is in like the world outside of Survivor. Like, I don't even know what she means by the free world.
I do not know. And maybe we could crowdsource this to the listeners of let us what goes in this blank.
I'll be in the free world.
You know, we gotta ask Kentucky Nick Wilson, because maybe it's like something from that specific town, like where they say blanked in the free world, and yeah, it's a saying. So maybe we gotta talk to Nick Wilson and see what's going on.
Right. Is it possible that she said something along the lines of free balling in the free world? Is that possible?
Can you not say free balling on TV?
I don't know. and yeah, we missed the wand off, if that's what she said. So
Tom Petty. Tom Laidlaw Petty singing free ball. Free ball.
Is that, let me see. Could that fit, Pooja?
I'll be in the free world.
It kind of laughed, whatever it was she said.
I just don't know why you can't say that on TV.
I don't know. See, Pooja, what do we need the Masked Singer for that we have the bleeped confessionals from Elaine? This is all the guessing we need on Survivor.
We're having a fun time too. The one thing Masked Singer has that Survivor doesn't is no one's chanting "Take It Off," so we're okay here.
They're saying, Elaine, put your drawers on.
Yeah,
before you go to the challenge. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So also, Elaine talked about cumin and mustard as well.
Cumin is like a yellow reddish spice that you put in food. You can put it on whatever you want. A coconut.
That must be some seed. Elaine never heard that.
Jordan, are you a cumin guy?
I do. I actually have a big thing of cumin in my kitchen. I spray it on like nachos, chicken. I put it on a lot of stuff.
What do you mean you spray it on things? It's like,
who said spray? I didn't say spray.
Did he not say spray, Pooja?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's like drinking the clam juice right now. It's not the same thing, piece.
Like it's not an aerosol, right?
No, I sprinkle it on my nachos. I could put on anything savory. It's great. It's a great spice.
Yeah, I don't think we have any cumin.
I think it's cumin, right? Is it cumin or cumin? I always say cumin.
I'm saying it wrong.
I think you're saying
it's
it wrong.
It's cumin.
I'm cumin. So I think I'm saying how Elaine said it.
Cumin is like a yellow reddish
cumin.
What's a spice that you put in food? You can put it on whatever you want. A coconut.
That must be some seed. Elaine never heard that.
So I think who was it that was describing what cumin was? Because she said it was reddish. I think she was thinking of paprika. Because cumin is more like beige.
Okay. All right. Pooja, would that work for the tribe colors of paprika versus cumin?
A paprika, red, and a cumin.
Is it cumin or cumin?
I always say like cumin.
Rhymes with human?
Rhymes with human, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. People tell me I say the word human wrong because I don't pronounce the H. But so that's another thing.
Why are you silencing it?
all right, Jordan, I was thinking of you as I was going back and I was watching the episode, and I know you're such a big NFL guy, and so did you catch the NFL talk in this episode?
I did. Remind me though. I forgot what the specifics were. I did catch it, but okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, unlike Aguilar. So going back to at the height of, you know, there was some not so fun stuff going on in this episode where there was some talk about how Kelly was uncomfortable with that Dan wanted to put his head on her leg, and Molly, in the midst of all this, was talking some football, specifically New York Giant football. Here's Molly.
Oh, my God. That 2012 Super Bowl where the Giants came back and beat the Patriots.
That was sick.
I was a little taken aback by Dan at first.
Now, is it possible, Molly was maybe not talking about Dan Spilo in this episode, but actually was talking about how she's uncomfortable with Danny Dimes. Is that possible? Is that the Daniel maybe she's talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, Rob. Danny Dimes.
Daniel Jones. That is a, is Dan, she?
Is that, are they calling him Danny Dimes now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have not heard that nickname for him. I'm a Jets guy, as you know. But no, I don't think she was talking about Daniel Jones.
Now, this was before the season started. And is it possible? I mean, listen to this quote again.
Oh, my God. That 2012 Super Bowl where the Giants came back and beat the Patriots.
I was a little taken aback by Dan at first.
Yeah. And she didn't think that he should have been drafted at 6, Dan. She was definitely taken aback. But now I think she probably has come around on Daniel Jones.
I mean, if she's a Giants fan, he's looked good. He could run. He could move outside of the pocket. Maybe before going on Survivor, she listened to the 32 fans draft recap that I did with Akiva and Chester, where we sort of railed on Daniel Jones, but he's proven us wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Molly Byman, who, by the way, I don't know. Is this a hot take? Does she have the same haircut as Shambo?
Oh, no. I don't think she has the same haircut as Shambo. I think
to me it's similar. Go back, I think it's a similar style.
Go back, look again. I think you're off on that one. I think
it's not a mullet, but there's some sort of similarity. It's like it's like a similar color, similar curliness. There was one confessional where it's just like up, and it's I don't know. It reminded me of Shambo.
I don't know. I think you're on an island with that one. But speaking of people that are similar, Pooya, I want to play. This was a moment from early in the episode where we got to see Elizabeth was talking with Missy, and she felt right away like they had a bond, and she told Missy about this.
I play violin and piano.
Yeah, I play the flute.
No way.
Why are we the same person?
Well, yeah, if you were talking with somebody and they said to you, why are we the same person? Would you not be incredibly freaked out?
Yeah, especially when you're taking two opposite things. Like, oh, I like pizza. It's like, oh,
I like hamburgers. Oh, my God. Yeah. Why are we the same person?
I made nachos with cumin last night. We're kindred spirits here. We're good. Yeah. I bet you're just trying to bond with me. I would go with it. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'd be like, you'll just glom onto anything, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, why are we the same person? Oh, my God. Yeah, that would freak me out. That's you know, really jumping in there for Elizabeth. But I guess it worked that we didn't see Missy say anything bad about Elizabeth. Elizabeth also, she went out to the Island of the Idols. She was the first person to do that. And Jordan, she was welcomed in to the Island of the Idols by Rob and Sandra. And Rob invited her to go visit a specific place on the Island of the Idols.
Come on up into the snug. We'll tell you what's going on.
What is a snug, Jordan?
Snug. It's a snug is a I guess it's like two intersecting wooden benches between two giant heads of Robin Sandra. That's a snug.
Pooya, have you ever been to a snug?
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe I wasn't told. I've never gone to a snug willingly that I know of.
Yeah.
That's why you free ball, so there's no snug.
No. Makes sense.
If it's too snug, if it's too snug, you want to go commando. Go commando. If your drawers are too snug, go commando. I think that's safest way to say that.
It's actually in the Boston
Urban Dictionary.
Yes,
snug written with two G's. Is when something is chilled, relaxed, and cool, derived from snug, as in the snug of a pub, which is a small, secluded side room of a pub or bar where a small group of friends can chill out, getting drunk in a more private surrounding.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe I should change the name of the podcast studio to the snug.
Rob is a snug. Coming to you live from my snug.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Let me try it out to see. Maybe this will work. I could give credit to Rob and Sandra. Coming to you live from my snug, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's never putting any cumin on anything. No, I don't know.
It doesn't have the same ring to it. It would be like someone else hosting Tribal Council. I think it needs to be coming to you live from my apartment. Yeah.
Puya, I think at the point I start inviting people up to my snug, I think that we're getting like a lot of like, I'm a germaphobe. I really am not comfortable with going up to Rob's snug. This is
Howard was in your snug for like a week, right?
All right. Let's get out of this. Let's get into talking about some social media from this week. And to do that, let's welcome in for the first time this season, the great Mr. Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Vaping heat like a welder. I built a giant head of Ryan Elder. Tweets.
The original composer of the Tweets, Baby Tweets jingle. So Jacob is paying homage to the original composer of the Tweets, Baby Tweets song. Jordan, I guess let me start with the Missy Bird. Missy Bird, she tweeted, "Don't move, don't breathe, go unnoticed for as long as possible. Just say dope a lot. They will all forget about you."
My Missy, I don't know if she's gone unnoticed. I did notice her in this episode, and I think that she is definitely one to watch. I mean, I think she was one of the more vocal people in that that Women's Alliance on the Lyra tribe. I think that she had a fantastic premiere.
Yeah. Puya, should Dees Ghoulish try to ride on Missy's coattails with this decently dope catchphrase?
I think so. I think this is going to be the season of Dees. So it'll be a decent shout for Dees to actually consider doing this. And
I wanted to test actually a name on you that I have changed my Twitter name a couple times. It has been Dees Ghoulish. It's actually really just been Dees Ghoulish for Jordan Kalish. What if I changed it to Dees Dopelish?
Dees Dopelish.
I love it, and as the kids would say, I am deceased.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get some drip with some Dees Dopelish drip and wear it around.
I'm too far, Dees.
My ops will be so mad when they see that.
Cap on them.
Is it? Dees Dopish?
Dees Dopelish.
Dees?
It's like Dees Schoolish, but rounder.
Dees Dopelish. Okay. You are in the weeds. Okay. All right. Kentucky Wick Nick Wilson. Great Twitter handle, KY _ Nick Wilson, that he says, I'd say Dan has a rather hands-on approach to the game. Hey-o. There you go. Speaking of inappropriate, Dr. Mike oh, yes. Said BTW at Boston Rob at Sandra D Twine live tribal commentary was great. They needed popcorn. Oh, like T-Bird. Great idea at Jimmy Fallon. Next time it should be you. Booyah. Should Jimmy Fallon be in the booth?
I think you hit the nail on the head this past week that he wouldn't be able to hold himself. He laughs at the smallest thing. You're like, a mosquito could fly by his ear. That mosquito need to caught me. That's funny. Like,
yeah.
That's Fallon. It would not work well.
It would be easier to get the entire Roots band in the box and not give up the gag than to have just Jimmy Fallon in there.
I would be very okay with the Roots being there next season.
Yes.
Sign them up.
But Jordan, it does beg that almost any celebrity, it seems like they could just like run into Jeff Probst and get their ideas into the show. It seems like almost like if you are, you know, of a certain stature, if you pitch Jeff Probst seemingly almost any idea, it has a good chance to get into the show.
I mean, we've had the Tyler Perry idol. We've now had the Jimmy Fallon. Maybe that's the snug. Maybe that box is also a snug.
Well, also Tyler Perry was giving Jeff Probst a bunch of ideas of like, hey, don't have any clothes. It seemed like Mike White had told Jeff, hey, don't have Redemption Island in San Juan del Sur. So I think there's probably another example or two that we can come up with. It seems like that a lot of celebrities have a lot of impact on Jeff's thinking.
So maybe the person that recommended Lauren Beck to Survivor must have been a celebrity, and now I'm curious to know who it was.
Yeah, Puya, do you think that the idea here is to maybe get more famous people watching Survivor, or is that potentially worse? We have to get all the famous people to stop watching Survivor.
I don't know, because I'm sitting here thinking, how did all these people get their suggestions? And meanwhile, we know Nick Offerman and his wife, Meg Mullally, are big fans. Why haven't they gotten a suggestion in? Because I think they would give us suggestions that we'd be here for.
We don't know that, though, to be fair. We don't know what suggestions Nick Offerman might have.
That's true. I just love Nick Offerman, so I would follow him into the desert.
Like, I bet Nick Offerman really likes the Final Four Fire Making Challenge and might want the Fire Making Challenge at every single eviction.
Yeah, I didn't think of his very nature side.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Like, I feel like Ron Swanson is really into the outdoorsy nature, the survivalist element of the show. Yeah. Maybe Adam Scott might be the person that we get to pitch Jeff some ideas.
Oh, and Adam Scott would definitely go with the more heavy strategy, very intense, elaborate ideas there. So maybe if those two collaborate together, they can find a healthy medium to then pitch and have a collaborative process.
Okay. We have Abby Maria was tweeting about the premiere. And the fun thing here is that Abby Maria refers to Elaine on Twitter as Elena. She says, ooh, I love Elena's gut instinct. The factory worker chick. Always listen to your soul is what I say. I am back just for this. Watching Tribal, and I effing love Elena's vulnerability. I want her to win this season. I got my pick. I'm crying with you, girl. She loves Elena.
Isn't she the one that cried a lot? No, her boyfriend cried a lot on Big Brother, right?
Deceased man, you hit us with the Big Brother reference. I love
yeah,
that.
That's the one season of Big Brother I've seen. That and the celebrity Big Brother.
Ooh, really didn't get a welcome wagon into Big Brother, then did you, man?
Yeah,
but I did have a good time at the live show. That was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah, that is not the reality Elena, the lady that's on that's on Survivor.
Oh, Elaine is great. I mean, she had a great time. So
Elaine is great, or Elena is great.
Elaine that is on this season of Survivor is great, and she, I'm so happy that she was not the first one voted off.
Yeah, Puya, what would it take for Elaine from Survivor to end up on X on the Beach?
Let's see. She might have to get a showman's going here with Big Hockey Tom. That could be the move here. Potentially.
Yeah, I guess is that the move for an Elena on reality TV to just like get the biggest guy on the tribe on? Yes. Again, off again. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Stephen Fishback. Tell me if this is a mail it in move, Puya. Stephen Fishback said, I'm in the middle of a move, so I wasn't able to write a Survivor blog tonight, but fishy for Elaine.
Yeah, definitely did not even need the new limitations with the characters. He could have done this with the old 140.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why no blog? Was he recording the paraphrase podcast?
I believe he's moving. He's got a lot going on. He's a lot going on. So looking forward to finally getting back together with Steven on Wednesday when the Survivor know-it-alls are reunited Wednesday night after the episode. Shireen says Survivor curses are cars, extra votes, Dan's. What do you think of that, Puya?
I, off the top of my head, can't think
story
of
story checks
that
out
I,
so far.
Yeah, it's looking normal. And then if you add Orange Tribe in there as well, I feel like we're hitting a complete pack here.
Yeah,
the premiere.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say poker players because Serena also dabbles in the poker
world. She's like an aspiring poker player. That she was at the last run-up Reno that I was at, and she like had knew nothing about poker. And then the last I heard, she's like become like has just like studied it. I mean, she's insanely smart, and she has just like learned poker, and now is just completely like engrossed in it.
I think I saw she tweeted that she's going to be at
She's going to be at the next one that they're going to do. So Shireen is going to be out there for that. Terry Dietz, this is interesting. Okay, so Terry Dietz, who is not a big tweeter of the show, he last came up, I think, on the social media segment during season 37, Puya, during Brochacho Gate.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, we have two tweets from Terry Dietz. He said, "Did you see the premiere of Survivor 39 last night? Really liked having Robin Sandra doing the color commentary at Tribal. Would love to see Shane and Corinne up in the booth."
Ooh. Dietz really wants people to get slammed.
Dietz dopish. Yeah. So then he has a follow up tweet. He says, "Okay, my vote is to have Rob C and Fish do play by play of Shane and Corinne watching the show, kind of like The Talking Dead. It would be hilarious."
I'm all for
creating
that.
A whole new project.
So the show is a commentary
of a commentary.
Yes. So the show is, yes, that's right. The Survivor know-it-alls are back. Steven, wow. Shane and Corinne really laid into the contestants, and especially Jeff Probst this week. Can you believe it? Really? They went all in. They did not hold back at all. Like, oh yeah,
must listen podcasting right there.
Yeah. Steven, what did you think? Well, I already tweeted out that I gave the fishy to Corinne this week. She had a couple of jabs. I thought they were real, real strong.
With her. I paraphrased it in a tweet.
Okay. All right. A couple more tweets this week. We have some conversations. Boston Rob, who's newly on Instagram. Even Boston Rob. We thought Taryn was the last holdout on Instagram. Turns out it was Boston Rob. He just jumped on there. You can follow Boston Rob on Instagram. But this was on Twitter. He said, "That was fun. At Survivor CBS. Can't wait till next week. What did you guys think?" Here comes Ethan Zahn, who says, "I hope you win."
My favorite storyline of this entire season is going to be everyone holding out, and the ones that are really worried that this is still going to happen, regardless of the fact that
it's
been made clear that they're not coming in.
I'm starting to feel like they're not. I'm starting to feel like that it's not going to happen. I was a holdout throughout the even when, you know, Mike was swearing up and down. He's like, "Guys, trust me. I talked to them. They said they're not." I'm like, yeah. But I'm coming around. I'm coming around on it. I don't think they're going to come into the game. Okay. Andrea Belke, another big Elaine stan. That Andrea says, "If Elaine gets voted out, we riot." And then here comes Richard Hatch, maybe the first person on the anti-Elaine train. He says, "Gosh, you guys, I think your love for Elaine is wildly misplaced. Love her, her story, her personality, all you want when you encounter her on Main Street. But she appears to me to have far too little control of her emotions to be loved as a Survivor player. I'm just saying." Andrea says, "Can't we just have fun, Richard?" "Of course, that's what I'm trying to do. I have a ton of fun homing in on rare good game skills." So Hatch, it's coming for Elaine already, Puya.
Yeah. And if anyone ends up joining the anti-Elaine club with Richard, that will be called the Down the Hatch Alliance.
Down the Hatch, not the Lost Rewatch podcast. Okay. And then I got one more convo involving somebody from this season. Dr. Mike has, he poses a question. He says, "Question, if Elizabeth had told the tribe that Islands of the Idols had 30-foot-high statues of Sandra and Rob, and that she had to battle Rob in the fire-making challenge. Would anybody believe her? Hashtag Survivor39. And Sandra Diaz Twine, at Sandra D. Twine, says, 24 feet, not 30. And Dr. Mike says, just saw that. Men always exaggerate about size. There you go. Classic Dr. Mike. Classic Dr. Mike. Perfect. Okay.
Honestly, I don't think anyone would have thought Elizabeth was lying, by the way. It's too big of a lie. Like, who would lie about that? It would be insane.
Puya, what do you make of Elizabeth's lie?
The lie was not great. I do think that just hitting them with what had happened would have been fine. Although it would have either been they believed her or they thought she went insane over there and the whole violin flute thing would become a lot more clear to Missy right off the bat.
We are like the same person. It is freaking me out.
A lot of people out there did listen to First One Out, and maybe they thought she had like a Josh Wiggler fever dream.
Oh, maybe. A lot of that going around out there out in Fiji. Okay. All right. Before we get to Dees Dopish's quiz for Dope-ish. This week. Dope-ish. What'd I say?
Dopish. Very different.
I said
D-O-P-E-L-I-S-H.
Dope-lish. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yes,
okay.
I'm legally Dope-lish. Changing my name
okay.
this week.
All right, put an L in my notes. Okay, all right. Let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast This Week in Survivor History, and that are our friends over at Purple Mattress. Survivor fans, they know purple is the best. They know that a purple mattress is going to be superior to any of the other color mattresses that you want, and they know how important it is to have a great night's sleep. Not something that I know too much about it, having some small kids here waking me up constantly. Over at Purple Mattress, they know how important the quality of sleep is, and it could affect your day. Something that Puya is going to know about tomorrow after recording this podcast late into the night. But Puya, if you had the Purple Mattress, I'm telling you, it would be a different day, because you're going to feel well rested even if you don't get as much sleep.
It's definitely something I need to subscribe to as someone who wakes up at 6:30 in the morning to bagel for the city. I think this will be a welcome change into my house.
It'll be a welcome change because the Purple Mattress was developed by two brothers who were making cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. Jordan, you think that's what Boston Rob and Sandra have on the Snug?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that the Snug, they were like, we need our Purple Mattress. It's not a Snug without a Purple Mattress.
The Purple Mattress is going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced because it uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It's not like the memory foam that you're used to. The Purple Mattress feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while still feeling comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you this zero gravity-like feel, so it works in any sleeping position. 100 nights risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping, and free returns and free in-home setup. And they'll take the old mattress out too. You're gonna love Purple, and right now our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. In addition to the free great gifts they've got site-wide, just text the word Rob to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text Rob. Don't text my phone number. Text the word Rob to 84888. That's R-O-B, not Rob with two B's, R-O-B to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. And with that, let's jump into the quiz.
Twish.
All right, Jordan.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes, I
Dees
have.
Dope-lish with the first
three questions about Rob.
Oh, you. Yes. Okay. All right. None of these are the leftover questions from the This Week in Robin Akiva.
No, so the first category is, I can't believe it's just Chester, but the rest of them are all normal Survivor questions from this week. Actually, from now that we're releasing the podcast, a little bit later in the week with the Wiggle Room. It's actually from last week in Survivor history, but it's still called
the week that's gone by. The week, it's not the week ahead. The week that was.
It's fine.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jordan, can you quickly, for our new listeners who just maybe this is their first Survivor season with us, could you set up the rules for the This Week in Survivor History quiz? And bear in mind, Puya has to work at 6:30.
Okay. So, I'll be done before 6:30. So we're good. There are four multiple choice questions. Each one has a category name that you will choose, and you will each answer two of these multiple choice questions during the game. If you choose to not hear the multiple choice options and you are correct, you gain 2 points. If you go for two and you are wrong, you give your opponent a chance to steal a point. They'll also not hear the multiple choice options. If you do hear the multiple choice, you will get 1 point if you're right. And if you only go for one, your opponent can't steal. Then we'll go to a final round called the deathmatch, in which both of you will be allowed to earn points. So is that succinct enough for the first episode of This Week in Survivor History for this season?
Yes, yes. I think Puya, you got it?
I'm ready to go. As long as Jordan's got the math, we're good.
Puya's played before. He knows what's going on. Puya, did you beat Rob or did Rob beat you last time?
I believe we went into a tiebreaker and I lost.
Okay. So going for redemption, Survivor, Puya redemption.
Is this your second or third time playing the quiz?
I believe this is the second time.
So two.
Okay. All right. All right.
So our four categories today, we have luxury items, Love the Drake, Kidnapped, and Marooned. And Puya, as the guest, you get to choose the first category.
All right. Let's see. He's seeing us from, I'm from Canada. Let's go with the Drake.
Okay. Love the Drake. We're going to Survivor Pearl Islands, To Quit or Not to Quit, from September 25th, 2003, 16 years ago, last Wednesday. After winning the reward challenge, the Drake tribe sent one contestant to raid the Morgan camp. This person took the tarp, damaging the shelter in the process and angering the Morgans. Who was this mystery raider?
Ooh, this is going to be a good one.
It's not Antonio Brown. He's not that mystery raider.
So I'm going to go with, not going to ask for a multiple choice here. It's going to take my shot. I'm going to have my opportunity. I'm sitting here with Sir Rob, and I'm going to face off with him. I'm going to go for the win. I'm going to go with Sandra, locking it in.
Sandra, locking it in, going for two, and you are correct. Sandra, who is now back as an advisor on this season, was the person who got to go to the Morgan camp and steal their stuff. So you get 2 points. Good way to start the season. Puya is up to zero. Rob, you have luxury items, kidnapped, and marooned are the three categories left.
I will go with marooned.
Okay, so we didn't have a marooning on this season of Survivor, but when we went to Survivor Cambodia, the episode was called Second Chance from September 23rd, 2015, 4 years ago last Monday. Who won extra rice for their tribe by being the first player to swim from the original marooning boat to a second boat?
I think I know the answer. But Let me hear the choices.
Okay, so going for one, taking the safer. What would Boston Rob say about hearing the options here?
Hey, trust your gut.
Was it
you can't let Puya get a 2-0 lead on you.
Was it,
you can't win if you get down 2-0.
All right. Thank you, Boston Rob. That was good advice. Was it A, Joe Anglim, B, Spencer Bledsoe, C, Wu, D, Stephen Fishback?
I'm gonna say I think it was Wu. I think it was Wu. I think
it was Wu. Yeah. You're correct. Okay. And you get a point there. Yes, Wu. Wu did.
I was hoping that Joey Amazing wasn't gonna be one of the choices.
Yes, Joey Amazing, clear decoy choice. And Stephen Fishback, you may think of it as the joke answer, but he did win a swimming race to win an advantage later in the season. So not completely out of the question.
Yeah.
So Puya, you have a 2-1 lead. We have luxury items and kidnapped as our two remaining categories.
Let's go with the kidnapped.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor China. The episode is My Mom Is Going to Kill Me, September 27th, 2007, 12 years ago last Friday. Jamie Dugan was the first person kidnapped by the opposite tribe in Survivor China. To whom did she give the idol clue during her time at the Fei Long camp?
This is going to be tough. I'll go with the multiple choice just to stay safe.
Okay, staying safe, trying to extend your lead over Rob. Was it A, James Clement, B, Todd Herzog, C, Aaron Riesberger, D, Leslie Nice?
Really want to win, guys. Let's go with Leslie.
Leslie is correct. Good job. You get a point there. You have a 3-1 lead. She gave the clue to Leslie. I think she sort of sussed out that maybe she was on the outs in her tribe. Leslie ended up sharing the clue with Todd.
Yeah, I thought they had like a religious bond also.
Yes, I think that was part of it as well. But Todd actually, Leslie thought sharing the clue with Todd would maybe bond them as well. But really, Todd gave a confessional where he said it might be a good idea now to vote her out because she has that information. Mm-hmm. So, Uya, you take a 3-1 lead. Rob, you can either you can get closer here. You could potentially tie it up here if you go for two and get it right. We're going to luxury items. We're going to go to Survivor Thailand, which has gotten a lot of coverage over the offseason with talking with T-Bird. The episode is The Great Divide from September 26, 2002, 17 years ago, last Thursday. Which contestant brought a golf club as a luxury item that his tribe played with on the beach?
Okay. This did not come up on Talking with T-Bird, but I do believe the answer is Mr. Clay. And I'm pretty sure his last name is Jordan, but I don't want to get the question wrong by getting his last name wrong. It was Clay.
Got it. Clay. Yeah, his last name is actually Deese. No, it is
Clay Jordan Kalish. Yeah,
that's Clay Jordan Kalish. So we have a 3-3 game going into the final round. Yeah, Clay Jordan Bros Golf Club, and they had some fun with that out there. Good job. We're going to go to the final round here, to the death match. Unfortunately for Ronnie Barta, he became the first one out of Survivor Island of the Idols last week after receiving 7 votes in Tribal Council. I have compiled a list of various first boots. You must tell me if the person voted out either received 7 or more votes at their only Tribal Council or less than 7 votes. So there's two options here. It's either 7 or more or less than 7. It's a little bit tough. It's a tough game. But as we always do here, we'll... if you are incorrect, you will not answer any more during the game unless we still have a tie after 4 answers are given in total by the two of you. So let's start here with Puya. You're the guest. Choose a number, and this will just decide the order of the game. Choose a number between 1 and 8.
All right. I'm always Team Mambo, so I'm going to go number 5.
Number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor San Juan del Sur. Nadia, that was the first person voted out. Did she receive 7 or more votes, or did she receive less than 7 votes?
Nadia. Okay. How many people were on that? Okay. Okay. We're looking at like 9, 10 people. 7 or more. The only other person I feel like I remember... So that's where Farm Guy 69 ended up making a play there and pushing it. You know what? I'm going to go with the over. It was more.
More than 7. It's actually less than 7. It was a 5-3-1 vote in which Dale received 3 votes. And if you remember, Josh Canfield actually threw a vote.
Baylor, right?
Yeah, he threw a vote towards Baylor, which I remember at the time none of us thought made all that much sense because it seemed like he was aligned with her. Yeah, that was a tribal council where, Josh or Nadia got in hot water when she was referring to Josh as one of the girls, which, of course, he was not a fan of. So, yeah, Nadia went there with only 5 votes, though. So, Puya, you're incorrect there. And if you are correct on this one, Rob, you win the game. And okay, we're going to go to Millennials versus Gen X. It's Rachel Akko.
We put Puya to bed. did Rachel Akko get more than 7? And I am going to say, if I'm wrong, the game just
continues.
Okay, all right. So nothing to lose here. Then I'm going to say that she did. I'll take the over.
This was actually a crazy vote. So it was a 5-3 to 1-1 vote in which CC got 3 votes. David and Sunday each got 1 vote each. So it was less than 7. Did not get to the full Barda number of 7 votes there. So you were incorrect. Booya, you're back in the game. And damn, we're going to Chicken from Survivor China.
Ooh, damn. Oh, I've watched this so many times. Oh, I'm going to say damn after this. You know, someone who's like dabbled in the gambling, I'm inclined to stop while I'm ahead and not just repeat what I just did. Then at the same time, I want to say this hit me. It's going to be over. It's over. Let's go with over.
Over. So it was a 5-2-1 vote. Ashley Massaro, the late Ashley Massaro received 2 votes, and PG got a vote there. Actually, PG received Ashley's vote, so it was less than 7. So Puya, you're in trouble again. And Rob, we're gonna go to one of my favorite seasons, Survivor Guatemala, and we have Jim Lynch.
Jim Lynch, I mean, he broke his arm. I think that even though there's only 8 people in the tribe, I think, right? Or was it 9? I don't know. I'm gonna say that they all voted for him. I mean, his arm was like dislocated.
So it was a 9 person tribe. Jim Lynch voted for Margaret, but he was the only one for Margaret. So Rob, you are correct. You get a point, and you win the quiz 4-3. Congratulations.
Okay, Puya, you shouldn't have played. That was the lesson. the only way to win this week was to not play the game.
Yeah, I'll be licking my wounds on this one, Rob. But I don't regret it. I had fun. And if this means that I have to wait another time to come back for my redemption arc, we'll see you then.
Look, it took Megan Z, what was it, 3 times? Even though her first time, she probably, I think, was supposed to win, but I made a scoring error. But it, for her to officially win, it took her 3 or 4 times. You'll do this at some point, Puya. I have a lot of confidence in you. I have some more questions about Akiva if you guys want those.
I think I'm pretty sure Puya is never going to talk to us again if we do Akiva trivia right now.
I feel like I knowing Akiva, it's best if I don't answer these because then he might not let me back on Renap at some point. So let's pretend that we didn't do anything.
Okay. All right. So Puya, of course, people can catch you now on the Masked Singer Rehap Up with Liana Boris. For people who are not Masked Singer watchers, can you just give a quick pitch of why people might want to check it out on their streaming services or Hulu or whatever so they can listen to the podcast?
Definitely. So I'm never going to advocate to, you know, tune in live because it's against Survivor and we're all here for Survivor. But if you have any spare time, it's a fun show. It's very low stakes. There are singers. It's hidden identities. There's elaborate costumes. There's clues. There's horrible guesses from judges. There's people chanting stuff like egg and making weird hand movements. So you'll hear people saying egg, 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 random stuff like that. We have people that are listening to the podcast that aren't even watching because we just end up covering all this. We break them down. We give our own suggestions of who could be who. I have put a wild guess out there that I think Steve Buscemi's on this season, which people think I'm insane for. It's just a lot of fun. It's just, you know, making guesses, running with them, and then talking about nonsensical things. So it's just that, you know, it's the lightweight of content you'd be taking in for on a weekly basis.
It's a great, I call it like a folding laundry show. You can just have it on. You don't need to be giving it your undivided attention. Something major is not going to happen that you're going to miss if you have to leave the room for a second.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
You'll be fine. And check out the podcast. Probably fun to listen to even if you don't watch the show.
Yeah, no, we talk about nonsense. We really do. We talk about the show, but then we also get on tangents here and there. Specifically, Liana asked me if anyone likes Jell-O. So do either of you enjoy eating Jell-O?
I don't think anybody enjoys eating Jell-O. I think it's a thing that if it's in front of you, then and there's nothing else, and it's like, you know, you're like in a hospital bed or something like that,
or you're
in a cafeteria, and it's like, here's the dessert, it's Jell-O. But I don't think anybody actively seeks out Jell-O.
I don't think
it's not balut, but it's also not good. It's not like something that you want.
Yeah, it's not it's not disgusting, but it's not anything that you crave. And I think the more you know about it, the less you want it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. So that's just a little bit of like that and all the other things that the show brings in. And Liana's always fun to talk to. So it's a good combination of a lot of things coming at the table on this Wrap Up podcast.
Okay. Do you feel like that you guys have a reasonable guess who most of the Masked Singers are?
No. So we have two right now that we're feeling pretty strongly about. One that Liana made a case for, and then one that I've made a case for that we subscribe to. All the other ones are a little bit, we need more clues, or I'm going to plead insanity on the Steve Buscemi one. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
All right. Of course, you could follow at Puyaism. Jordan Kalish back in the saddle here. Jordan, what else is going on with you? Anything? Fake Survivor seasons.
Fake Survivor seasons. I'm a cross country coach now, which is interesting because I was never really much of a runner, but I'm having a good time with that. I'm looking forward to the Survivor Know-It-Alls, live Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up in New York, which I'm really excited about. But Puya, I have a question for you. Last time you were on, do you remember who I can't say I remember the answer to this question, but who was the first Survivor you followed on Twitter? I know I asked you last time.
Yeah, I do. I got caught with a poor pick, probably.
Was it Russell?
No.
Who was it? Was,
her name evades me now. From Survivor Philippines.
Oh, RC?
RC. It was RC, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
So, Puya, we know it's RC. We know, and if anybody is, keeping the This Week in Survivor History wiki, we know that answer. But who is the most recent Survivor you followed on Twitter?
Ooh, most recent internet, just U.S., for counting U.S. here, right?
Most recent U.S. Survivor contestant, yes.
Oof, I want to say it might have been from the last season. Oh, you know what? I totally know who it is. Is it Victoria?
Rob, ding the bell.
Boom.
It is Victoria. Nailed it. Good job.
Okay. All right. Follow at Jordan Kalish on social media, and you can check Jordan Kalish out on the most recent Robin Akiva Need a Podcast as well for even more. If you listen to this and say, boy, I'd love to hear more Jordan Kalish asking questions to people, go check out the latest Robin Akiva Need a Podcast for that. Jordan, you in a cold sweat yet about the Yankees postseason?
I am very excited. I'm anticipating this. I mean, it's really like World Series or bust at this point. But I am a little bit nervous about some things with the pitching staff. But I think it's a strong team. I think we could pull it out. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to. So I'm nervous, but I'm also excited.
Yeah, Jordan. I was gonna be mean, and I was gonna guarantee a Yankee World Series win. I won't do that to you today.
Can we get Nicole Stradamus hasn't had the best luck with I shouldn't have her.
Yeah,
I guess. But maybe like go back in time. We'll get Nicole Stradamus from 4 years ago.
We'll ask her to pick who's going to win the series between the Yankees and the Washington Senators and see see what she says. Okay.
Yeah, this is the Kalis versus Alex Jester battle. Yankees twins.
Okay. All right. So, Jordan, thank you so much for your hard work. We'll talk to you again next week. And of course, big thanks to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We told you earlier in this show that you guys will have access to the entire Wand Off SoundCloud for the week, even the things that did not make the show, to hear that. And much more, including we're going to send you a RHAP pop socket when you become a patron before October 8th, I think. What do you think is going to last longer, the special or the Yankees postseason, Jordan?
Yankees postseason,
maybe. Yankees postseason, okay. All right, so head on over to robhaswebsite.com/patron to find out more about everything going on in our patron community and our patron podcast feed and more, where we are connecting fans around the world of reality TV over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.